that we own.
Finally, a light shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Makris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Makris.
Then I go to my brother, and I say, brother.
Welcome to Limelight Radio today, everyone. This is Katina Makris, and as you know, it is always my joy and privilege to visit with you all every week and bring the latest news and cutting information, events, and wonderful people from the Lyme disease community to you with their research, philanthropic work, and wonderful success stories and beautiful souls that I get to visit with and share with you. Today, I am delighted we've got a very special show. I think some of our listeners will remember that in May, I went to Jacksonville, Florida, and participated in the Lyme in the South Music Fest, which was fantastic. This was sponsored by the Florida Lyme Disease Association, and we brought lots of great energy and music and inspiration and information to North Florida. So visiting with us is Melissa Bell, who is an attorney and who's had a personal story with Lyme disease and is passionately involved in the Lyme disease movement in the South. So let me talk to you and fill you in a little bit about Melissa, and we're going to hear more of that wonderful festival that I was at and more about what's going on in Florida. So Melissa Bell was raised in West Palm Beach, Florida, after receiving a Bachelor of Science degree in finance from the University of Florida. She worked as a business analyst for NCR Corporation in Atlanta, Georgia, Liberty Corner, New Jersey, and Orlando, Florida. Melissa returned to the University of Florida to obtain her law degree with honors. After graduating from law school, Melissa worked for two Jacksonville, Florida law firms, collectively for a total of 12 years, specializing in commercial and employment litigation. Unfortunately, Lyme disease has profoundly impacted Melissa's family. After years of searching for answer, Melissa and her children were finally diagnosed with Lyme disease and multiple other tick-borne infections. Melissa saw firsthand the struggles that so many other Florida families face due to poor awareness in the state, faulty testing, and flawed treatment guidelines that fail to take into account the complexities of treating late-stage disseminated Lyme disease, particularly in the presence of co-infections. Through personal experience and outreach to others, Melissa observed that patients in Florida are routinely condemned to unnecessary suffering because they are denied the opportunity for early diagnosis along with safe treatments. Melissa founded Florida Lyme Disease in 2013 in an effort to raise awareness throughout the state and to provide leadership for statewide advocacy initiatives. Melissa is excited to partner with the talented, passionate Northeast Florida Lyme Association team to improve Lyme disease education, awareness, and surveillance in the state of Florida. And I can tell you firsthand, because I spent 3 days with Melissa Bell, that she is a dynamo. She's caring. She's compassionate. She's a wonderful human being. Welcome to Limelight Radio, Melissa Bell.
Thank you, Katina, and thank you for having me.
Oh, my gosh. It's such an honor to have you, Melissa. I felt when I met you at the moment, the first thing, first few meetings, I knew that you and I were kindred spirits, and I applaud you. You are working so hard in the state of Florida.
Absolutely. I felt the same way, Katina. Certainly, Lyme patients, they share a special bond. You know, we've been through a very unique, life-altering experience, and so it's wonderful that we can work together to help spread awareness and advocate for others that are just on the beginning of this journey.
Yes, and Florida's in tough shape, aren't you? A lot of people want to deny the illness down there. They think, oh, it's just up north where there's all that foliage. We just have beachy dunes and dry, you know, ranch land. But it's not the case, is it?
Absolutely not. We actually have high humidity and warm weather that leads to year-round tick activity. We have a large diversity of ticks. And Dr. Carrie Clark is actually finding that not only does the deer tick, also the black-legged tick, the same tick, that they both spread Lyme disease. The Lone Star tick is an aggressive tick that's commonly found in southern states, and it spreads a plethora of tick-borne infections. We saw firsthand that doctors refused to even test for Lyme disease because they had the misconception that Lyme is extremely rare here, and we're finding that not to be true. Dr. Clark is finding Lyme-infected ticks throughout the South, including a tick that was recently found on a three-year-old child in our own neighborhood. We just heard just yesterday, I'm helping a family in Orlando that has a five-year-old that is CDC positive for Lyme. It took great convincing of the doctors to even test the child, and the doctors refused to acknowledge the CDC positive test. So not only are doctors in Florida not looking for Lyme disease, when they find it, even using the lofty CDC standards, they refuse to acknowledge the positive results. And as a result, the patients are often led to disseminated infections that are much harder to treat. So it's been our goal, our primary goal is to spread awareness that we absolutely do have Lyme disease in Florida. We went about accomplishing that goal a couple of ways. One of which was drafting proclamations. Governor Rick Scott declared May 2004 Lyme Disease Awareness Month, and we also had seven cities throughout the state that did the same. This enabled us to have a lot of press coverage to show that, indeed, Lyme disease is prevalent in Florida. And Florida is actually within the top 20 of reported cases, even with doctors not looking for it and accepting CDC-positive test results. Our other primary goal of spreading awareness was through the Lyme in the South Music Fest that we held on May 17th. We were thrilled to have Katina as part of our speaker. She was our headliner and was incredibly moving to all the people who attended. We had approximately 300 people that were there to hear some fabulous speakers and musicians. Greg Kirk from the Ticked Off Music Fest was an amazing partner. He helped in so many ways in booking the talent, and he also did a fabulous job performing not only solo, but also he accompanied Les Stroud, also known as Survivor Man, at the Music Fest. Our other performers included Pat Denizio, who's the frontman of the Smithereens, who had just the same exact voice as I recall when I listened to him in the 1990s.
He was
Alicia
great.
Turner, she did an amazing job, especially her breakout song, Breathing. And she literally brought, you know, the attendees to tears. She had such a moving story and a personal struggle, and now she's reaching out to help others as well. We were just truly blessed with great weather, an amazing venue. River City Brewing Company did such a nice job in donating their venue for us, and their staff just really helped us in so many ways to present a great event.
It really was a stunning event, Melissa. I have done, as you know, over 60 public presentations around the United States in the past 3 years. And I have to say, Lyme in the South really was a winner at so many levels. You were so organized. The event went so smoothly. The people there were so well nourished at every level. We fed them with music and food and knowledge and inspiration and comfort. And it was, you know, such a supportive environment for people struggling with the illness and such an educational experience for people that wanted to learn more about Lyme disease. And hats off to you. You did a fantastic job organizing and amazing PR too.
Yes, yes. We did work hard. We actually managed all of our own public relations and through personal contacts and really just working hard to get the message out. We were able to obtain local coverage from three networks, our local newspaper, Jacksonville Magazine. CNN actually ran a story with Dr. Carrie Clark, which was wonderful. We're working with a former CNN producer to develop a Lyme in the South documentary. So we have a lot of momentum actually coming out of this event as well. We're also able to obtain free billboards to not only promote the Music Fest, but also Lyme Disease Awareness Month. And we certainly thank Clearly Jacksonville for donating those to us. And as much as we accomplished this year, we feel like it's only the foundation to do greater things in the future. We've been really trying to rally advocates throughout the state, providing that central leadership, and also showing that they're not alone. So many Lyme patients feel isolated, and this was such a unique opportunity to bring everybody together to share their journeys. I think that was very moving. We had patients. Some arrived in wheelchairs, several with canes. Some traveled all the way from Texas because they were desperately seeking help for a loved one. It was just such a moving opportunity to see the Lyme community come together and support one another and provide hope as well. I know that the gentleman who was there on behalf of his son in Texas, you know, he literally had tears in his eyes as I introduced him to Dr. Shirley Hartman, a Lyme literate doctor who was also a speaker at the event. For the first time in many years, he had hope for his son, who was debilitated, could not walk, and couldn't even string together a sentence, even though he was college educated.
Oh, I know, Melissa. It was really remarkable, wasn't it? It was just a constellation of just the right everything coming together in this tremendously powerful weekend. So stay with me, Melissa, because we've got to take a quick station break. Audience, stay with us. We're coming right back with Melissa Bell discussing Lyme disease in Florida and in the South. This is very important information. They are shifting the tides down there, and I want you to listen because this needs to happen state to state. This is Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. We'll be right back.
Oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit limelightradio.com.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session or dial 415-235-2807.
To die. I don't know what's up there.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. Fantastic show today. We are discussing the wonderful Bell. Fantastic news that you're sharing with us, Melissa. You are creating momentum in Florida. You're waking up. Florida, they have Lyme disease. It's there in record numbers. The whole state, I'm sure, especially the northern quarters, must be rampant. Terry Clark's research studies are bringing to light that this illness has been around for some time. And I witnessed and saw the people in the wheelchairs, the palsies, the pallor, the misdiagnosed rheumatoid arthritis. Thank you for all your hard work.
And thank you, Katina. We truly have enjoyed this partnership, and we're thrilled to continue working with you. You mentioned Dr. Clark's research, and one of the primary goals of the Music Fest was actually to help raise funds for his research. He's basically a one-man shop, and he could desperately use support for his research. We would love for him to be able to have a full-time research assistant. He has great research in the pipeline, not only evidencing divergent strains here in the South, but also persistent infection after antibiotic treatment, which is an issue for everyone in the country. And he's also showing a lot of children that have been diagnosed with autism, they're now finding Lyme in the entire families. He has such amazing work. He tests ticks for free. He does a lot of PCR testing of human blood without charging, but all of that does come at a cost, so we're working very hard to support him financially. While our primary goal to Music Fest was really to raise awareness, we were also successful in raising some significant funds. We
That's
raised
great.
About $19,000. We're still working out some of the final expenses and revenues as things wrap up, but we were able to clear $19,000.
That's terrific. That's awesome, Melissa. Congratulations. I mean, world, listen to this. Jacksonville, Florida, you would not think Jacksonville, Florida is an epicenter, but look at the hard work that these people did. They created a fantastic event. I was there to validate for it. $19,000 raised in one day there at an event. This can happen around the country. We can help create and shift the tides. We can get this research money. Dr. Kerry Clark is phenomenal. I totally agree with you, Melissa. He could be one of the key pivotal players in breaking open the story of tick-borne illness, because it's not a matter of doctors and medical community infighting. This is a scientist out in the field, a bug doctor, right, who could really provide us with such valuable information that's decades behind the times in what we need to catch up on.
Absolutely. And, you know, the template for the event is something that can be replicated. Greg Kirk was amazing to work with. He's very organized and helped book great talent, and he was a great performer. I know that he's looking to do a series of music fests throughout the country, including an upcoming one in Annapolis, Maryland in August. I'm certainly welcome to guide anybody on our format, what we felt worked, things that didn't work so well, and any of our form documents. I'd be happy to help others if they're interested in promoting a similar event. 75% of our proceeds are going to Dr. Kerry Clark. That amounts to about $14,000. 10% of our proceeds are actually going to the Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, who provided us some support throughout the event, and also we applaud their national efforts. Mm. And the remaining 15% will go to Florida Lyme Disease Association. And our organization is really working hard to spread awareness throughout the state, be able to develop materials to help, you know, educate both residents and doctors in the state. And we're also continuing to partner with Dr. Kerry Clark and his research. One of our newer initiatives is actually to help sponsor doctors in the state who are interested in attending the ILADS conference. We would love to be able to have more Lyme-literate medical doctors here in the state, because there is such a tremendous demand. The doctors that are here have very many months of backlog in patients, and these people need immediate help. We need more doctors who are educated about Lyme disease, recognize that it's here. They recognize the fallacies of the Lyme testing, and also, you know, to look for co-infections. My son's team of doctors not only missed Lyme disease for about a year that we had been requesting testing and were denied, but they also missed 6 co-infections for him. Our son was truly debilitated by the time he was finally diagnosed. He lost the ability to walk many days. He could no longer attend school. He had these excruciating migraines that required IV morphine. He was fainting. He lost about a year's worth of memory. These children are suffering immensely, and they're losing their childhoods because of such poor awareness here in the state. We have so much work here to do. That's really what motivates me, probably more than anything, is the children. We saw our child suffer terribly solely because doctors would not recognize that Lyme is here in the South. It's our goal to help other families prevent that hardship. We're sharing our story. We're now, a lot of even people locally here in Jacksonville are seeking diagnosis and are getting properly diagnosed. we certainly have our work cut out for us, and we have great plans for the future. We do hope to have annual events. This was our first year for a music fest, so we were thrilled with the success. But as anybody who's known, who's planned events knows, the more years that you can build upon it, then you can only build upon that success.
I'm so proud of you, Melissa. I'm so proud of all the work that you've done. And is your son recovering now? Is he feeling better?
He's doing remarkably better. It's been a long, hard road to treat so many infections. Within about 8 months of treatment, he was able to return to school full time. And then a year after that, he was also able to resume sports. He not only was able to earn a varsity letter for swimming as an eighth grade student, but also he participated on the track team. Considering that he couldn't even walk many days just 2 years before, we were absolutely thrilled with his progress. But not all kids are so fortunate. When you have late-stage disseminated Lyme, not all children respond properly to treatment. And there's others that cannot afford the treatment. We were able to go to some of the top Lyme doctors in the country. It's a tremendous sacrifice for our family, but we're able to do it. There's so many other families that don't have that luxury. I'm able to talk to many families where they have multiple infected family members, and they are left with the terrible choice. And looking at their children, which child gets treatment? Which child is the sickest? The others that are sick and infected cannot get treatment because the family cannot afford to treat all family members. Many times the moms are the ones that are left without treatment because they are focusing all of their finances and energy to get their children well. It's really a huge problem. You know, I've networked with so many moms who are facing the exact same situation as us. Our situation is not unusual in the Lyme community. It's happening time and time again where moms and multiple children are finding that they have Lyme disease.
So true. And we only have a couple minutes, Melissa. You and I could talk for quite some time here. I want to just ask you two quick questions before we go. Number one, is all of Florida ransacked, or is it more the northern part of the state? Is it all the way down into, you know, Homestead and the Everglades in that area, or is it primarily worse up north?
It's actually the entire state. You know, there's certain pockets around Ocala and Central Florida that have a higher prevalence, but it's throughout the entire state. Virtually every county in Florida is deemed to be endemic, and the state overall is considered to be endemic.
The birds that come down from up north carry ticks, and I can imagine your warm climate, as you said.
Yes, and also, you know, there's some solid research to support that Lyme may have been actually more in the south. We have more divergent strains here and diversity of strains. It just so happens there was a researcher and doctor up in the northeast who discovered the Lyme bacteria, but it's not a new bacteria. They're finding the Borrelia millions of years ago and Neanderthals. It's not a problem that's limited to the northeast. It's a problem that's a worldwide problem and certainly a national problem.
Definitely.
We can it's throughout the country. I think that benefits everybody.
It is. So, Melissa, please tell us, because I want our listeners to be able to participate with you. If they're listeners in the South, if they're listeners anywhere in the country and have loved ones in the South, can they please get in touch with your organization? What's your website?
Our website is flda.org. You can also find us on Facebook. It's Florida Lyme Disease Association. We would love for people to contact us, and we'll put them in, you know, in contact with various support groups throughout the state. And we would love to be able to continue sharing research with them to keep them updated on the latest developments.
That's fantastic. So that's F like in Frank, everyone, L like in lion, D like as in dog, A as in animal, .org, right?
Correct.
That's great. And please participate. Share this show. It'll be on podcast forever at limelightradio.com. Also stored forever on iTunes. Please share this story. Melissa Bell, you are a tremendous advocate. I applaud you. You are a powerhouse, and I know you're going to help shift the tides. Thank you for sharing this time with me. Thank you for bringing me down to Lyme in the South. I loved being with you. And as you know, I now feel like Jacksonville's home away from home. I can't wait to come back and see you all again. Thank you for joining us on Limelight Radio.
Thank you, Katina. We welcome you back anytime.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, audience. Stay tuned. Alyssa Turner, beautiful musician, is going to be on with us now in the second half of the show. Time for a station break. This is Katina Macris with Limelight Radio.
Somebody keep telling me the